As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington, otherwise known as UFO and Paranormal Central. Tonight I thought I'd do a couple things. There's so much information coming in. I thought I'd do a little bit of a monologue to share with you some of the things that we're experiencing up here on the mountain and some of the information. And I know globally there's some pretty amazing things going on as well. And then move into call-ins and have people express their own opinions and share, you know, what they're experiencing with these new energies coming in. One of the amazing breakthroughs is that we're starting to get a lot of interest from different forms of media and TV producers, and they're just doing a bang-up job on getting this information out, which is going to be aired very soon. We just got through having a special screening of some of the work they've done about the context here on the mountain and the message and what's happening on the planet. And it is just a mind-blower, the job that they've done. It's like the quality, you know, work. So we'll tell you more about that later when I can, but there's two major movies coming out here real shortly, and we'll let people know about them when they come out. But a lot of people have been asking me over and over about, you know, the nature of God, ETs. There's a lot of people that have put out videos and DVDs on this and with some good information and then a slight twist on in the end. So I'm going to give you another little story that you can decide whether or not it's true for you, which is really important that everybody use their own discernment and their own inner sensitivity to feel whether this is true or not. But anyway, to start off with this, this little story, you know, the topic was the ET God that people worship. And a lot of people don't realize it, but the ETs that we often worship and the gods that we have in the ancient texts and including our own Bible were actually ETs. And we have to ask who created them, who created those images. You know, in the beginning, the true text says, you know, the father of all fathers created the Elohim, and the Elohim moved forward and created, you know, the earth and things of that nature. Now, Elohim is plural, so why would they say gods? You know, the father of all fathers created the gods, and the gods went forward into creation. And that is a more accurate scenario of what happened. And all the ancient texts refer to the gods, and that's a very unifying theme throughout almost all ancient texts. When you read these, they speak of the Anunnaki, the Nephilim. They have many different names, just as we would walk across Europe with an apple and you know, they would give it 15, 20 different names. And we have many different varieties of that apple as well. So, you know, the bottom line is it just depends on the culture and the belief or the religion as to what name we give it. And this is going to be an understanding that's going to transcend all religion and all cultures and take us beyond these divisions that we've accepted as our belief structure. So basically, getting back to this, we have to learn to differentiate between the genetic vehicle that we have here now and the spirit within the vehicle. And we often are so tied into our bodies and our cultures and our religions that we don't realize there's something that transcends all of this. It's far beyond this. Just as the infinite nature of God is beyond all finite understandings and books and you know, what you know, the images of man, you might say, fall far short of the true nature of the infinite God. And there's no way words can convey the infinite nature of God, written or spoken. You just can't do it. And you get much closer to it when you realize that actually God is a feeling. It's more of a feeling. You feel God. What is love? Love is an emotion. It's a feeling. And God is love. So it's not a mental construct. It's not the intellect, which is just a drop in the sea of consciousness. And unfortunately, a lot of people are stuck in the intellect with intellectual understandings, trying to figure out the nature of God, and it can't be done. It's impossible. So rather than settle for the short version, the drop in the sea of consciousness, let's move on to the whole ocean, which gives us a bigger understanding. Now, it's my understanding, what's been given to me is the source, whatever name you want to give it, is the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness on all planes and all dimensions throughout the universe. And when they say that we have the spark within us of that one consciousness, that we have the capability to expand that consciousness, that awareness, to become the full flame, this is a great truth. And this was given to us in the teachings, the ancient teachings, and Jesus referred this to us several times where he called us gods. He said, "Ye are all gods. The temple of God is within you." You know, they asked him where heaven was, and he said, "Heaven is all around you." And people don't realize that heaven is a state of consciousness. It's not a place. So is hell. Hell is a state of consciousness. And this planet right now is probably about as close to hell as you can get, considering where we're taking it. But unfortunately, you know, we have some leadership here that is deciding, making decisions, and, you know, they're perpetuating the war and the very dark scenario and trying to take us on the downward spiral. Luckily, there are a lot of people on the planet that are moving towards the upward spiral and the ascension process. And that's why we're seeing such a diverse experience here on the planet right now, because this is an action-reaction world known as the plane of demonstration, where consciousness creates reality, and we magnetize people and events to us according to our consciousness. There is no wrathful God that is up there punishing us. There's not a little old man with a beard throwing lightning bolts down and on bad doobies. And when people go to war and pray to God, there's not a God that takes sides. You know, every war has been because one leader wants what another leader has, be it natural resources or whatever, or land or gold or you name it. You know, this is where this came from. Control and power is what a lot of these groups seek. And it has nothing to do with God. There's no such thing as a holy war, because who are you warring on other than the other children of God? It's very simple. You know, it's omnipresence, backed by popular demand. So the bottom line is that a lot of people have a hard understanding about omnipresence, and that it just might include them, as well as everybody else and nature on the planet. And that simple understanding is so powerful. One of the lamas that I studied with, he said there's so few awakened beings on this planet because it's so damn simple. And the simplicity of living in harmony with each other and the planet and nature, and living a spiritual, wholesome life, and, you know, honoring the God in everyone and everything, it is really that simple. It's not that complicated. But the intellect gives us all kinds of reasons not to follow that path of simplicity. And much of it is due to our cultures and our religions. So we're going to focus a little bit about understanding on these religions that we've chosen to, you know, be part of our reality. And some of them have actually divided us and created a lot of problems, because kings and institutions have changed the original wording of these religions, you might say, to meet their own needs and demonize other groups, and, you know, which is very sad. And in ignorance, we don't even take the time to explore other religions and other teachings and actually read their sacred books. And if we did, we'd find out they're pretty much saying the same thing, you know, with the same distortions. So there are unifying threads or principles that are found throughout all the teachings, throughout all the sacred books that we could focus on that would bring us all together, you know, in one big happy family. But that's not good news for the war industry and the people that want to keep the competition and greed game going and keep us all separate. So nonetheless, this is why a lot of these other religious organizations are moving forward right now in this power struggle, you might say, to install themselves as the one true image or the one true religion. So we're going to burn some images tonight of this one true God or one true religion, and by sharing you a little story about Earth's history, which goes back very, very far. It goes back 28 million years as far as having civilizations on it, which is far further back than our standard curriculum tells us. And this is all verified by forbidden archaeology. You know, a lot of archaeological finds are proving now that we've been around for a long, long time, and advanced cultures have been here much, much longer than we can imagine, and they predate far further than the 6,000 years that the Bible tells us. And there were extremely advanced civilizations before the Great Flood, and there were several civilizations before that that came and went. So, you know, the bottom line is the Earth was colonized over 28 million years ago, and they had colonies that came and went, and they had to leave every so many thousand years because of major cataclysms that happened naturally in a grander cycle. Just like the Earth has four seasons, there are planetary cycles and seasons that the universe has, and sometimes the Earth undergoes very traumatic sunbursts, solar flares. There's all kinds of things that can happen to it. It goes through pole shifts, both magnetic and physical pole shifts, that send the oceans reeling across the continents. The gravitational fields drop and we get impacted severely by meteors. There's galactic plane and galactic superwaves that hit us. There's many, many things that have happened throughout history, and this is all recorded in the rocks, you might say, and the archaeologists are finding this out, and the geologists are finding this out. But they're not being allowed to come forward with a lot of this information. You know, it's almost like the global warming is finally starting to come out. But still, there is a mass movement now to suppress most of the information about global warming, which you're seeing now again. So the institutions that are actually creating the problem can continue to operate. And this isn't any different than it was in the past. So anyway, we're going to go back and just take for granted that, you know, people have been around for a long time and ancient civilizations have been around for a long time, and the ones that we do know about, where we have the archaeology to back it up, were the Sumerian tablets and texts, which talk about the Anunnaki. Now, the Anunnaki came around 450,000 years ago or so, some say 420,000 years ago, and stayed here for about a little over 100,000 years. And when they came here, the Earth was resetting itself again. It was pretty much void of life. There were, you know, plants and animals and things of that nature. And there was a human form that was actually evolving naturally here on the Earth. And you can call that Neanderthal or whatever, you know, the Homo, you know, some kind of a Homo erectus type being was walking around here. We'll just call it a knuckle dragger. And the Anunnaki came, and they had some severe problems with their people, and they needed to mine gold to put in their atmosphere to save their planet, Nibiru. And so they actually created a genetic uplink, and they added their genes to this knuckle-dragging being and created a hybrid, you might say, and gave it a jump in evolution. It wasn't like anything was withheld from it. There was a lot added to it, you might say. And it's very important to realize that evolution continues. DNA continues to evolve. Even though we received a jump in DNA, that jump continued. Now, when this happened, there was also other beings still left over from some of the other cataclysms on the Earth that were from the star nations. So now you have this Anunnaki gene, the gene of the gods, and then you have the gene of the star nations mixing in with what we call the knuckle dragger, which makes this incredible, diverse genetic soup, you might say, down here. And the genome experiment is actually covering this. They're saying that there's no way that we could have developed naturally here on the Earth. Genetically, there's not enough time. And there's been a lot of influence, you might say, from somewhere else. So in understanding this, we're going to go further into this and realize, okay, we're this giant, diverse genetic soup, not just physically, not just the form of humanity here, but also all the other plants and animals. A lot of them came from other nations, other star nations. So this grand experiment called Earth, which is within creation, you might say, it's just, you know, a few steps down from the first creation, from the source itself, and which just allowed all this to occur, and is part of this plan as well. So it's important to realize that there is a bigger picture beyond this genetic experiment that's going on down here. Now, you have many, many options now. We can align with our cultures. We can align with our religions. We can align with the body as well as our identity, which so many have. And this is very disempowering to do that. But if we were to align with the soul, with the spirit, within the body, realizing that this spirit comes from the source itself, and that in that we are all kin, we are all family, and there are no divisions, you know, in spirit, and this omnipresent consciousness, whatever you want to call it, that permeates all life, you know, even through nature, everything ties us all together. And when we start realizing that God is in everyone and everything, and it's the life force which supports all of these dramas that we're experiencing here and all of these trials and tribulations, as well as the good, as you know, the incredible things we're experiencing, when we realize that the God within us is manifesting these events and creating these events, and that spirit chose to pick up this vehicle right now, the one you're in right now, and to have this experience, it's very empowering to realize that you are a spirit and you're not just this body and you're not these circumstances that you've chosen to experience, that you're God having an experience right now. Whatever that experience is, the God within you is creating that experience. And rather than being the forgotten God or the ignorant God or the fallen one or whatever you want to call yourself, we can actually back up and change that experience by taking the reins again and saying, you know what I don't want, and now I'm going to start manifesting what I do want. And I'm not going to be in reactionary mind and just react to everything around me. I'm going to start moving into creationary mind and start creating the world I want to experience. And I'm not going to play the game, you know, the victim game anymore. I'm not going to be the persecutor anymore. I'm not even going to be the savior anymore. I'm just going to be. And I'm going to start dreaming the world the way I want it to be. And I'm not going to fall victim to terror and fear and all these other programs that are playing out, you know, their game, you might say, on the planet. I'm going to start choosing a new reality, a new place, a new force to align myself with. And in doing so, and also, too, I want to say, when you transcend the cultural boundaries and the religious boundaries and see yourself as a spirit, and that you see the spirit in everybody is coming from the same source, and that same creational energy in all life, you know, you end up living in harmony with each other and the planet. You end up loving everyone and everything, and you start seeing the energies around flowers. I mean, things start talking to you. You may think like you're crazy or whatever, but animals can talk to you. Flowers can talk to you. They have a different language, but you can learn that language the more you communicate and become at one with creation. And the more you do this, the more you realize you can actually feel the joy of a flower when these beautiful tulips open up and you see them. And they're just radiating this incredible beauty. You can not only just see the beauty, but you can feel it at will. You can feel it and you can actually sense the pride. And when you acknowledge that in the flower, how beautiful they are, you can actually feel the flower acknowledging you back. And this is without drugs, folks. This is just moving into the higher consciousness and energy. So, again, when we really understand our true nature and realize that we're truly a spirit that came from the source itself, and we all came from the same source, all life came from the same source, and we're all connected by that divine intelligence, whatever you want to call it, that life force. When you start seeing the world this way, this is when heaven on earth comes to the planet, which is that basically what we're in the throes of right now. So the bottom line is that heaven is coming to earth, and the real God is coming to earth, not these images of man, not these ancient experiences that we recorded in all of our sacred texts. We're talking about the image, an omnipresent image, the image that's within all creation, that's within everyone and everything. And it's a different image altogether. So when we talk to these extremely advanced ultra-dimensional beings and these ETs, and we learn the true history of Earth, we find out that there were many, many visitors to Earth, and some were very benevolent, some were service-oriented, some saw the Creator in everyone and everything, some were very self-centered and demanded worship and service, and they were very... you might say mentally and technologically advanced, but very spiritually backwards. And some of these beings are actually the images that we have been given as gods. The bearded god actually came from the Anunnaki. That's where we got that image. But we have to start asking ourselves, who created the Anunnaki? You know, who created these tyrants of the past that came here, that took advantage of primitive people? Who created all of this? Who allowed all these polarities to exist? What is this force? What is this infinite, nameless force that we've all tried to describe and falling very short of the magnificence of this force? We've given it every name in the book, and basically we have to understand that in its most unlimited understanding, it's just pure love and joy and bliss. It's beyond anything we can imagine. And even beyond that, there's the void. So it's nothing. So it's hard for us to grasp that out of the void came everything. But when we understand the void is all possibilities, all potentials existing at once in the void waiting to be activated by consciousness, then we start understanding more of the true nature of the source. Now, there's so many different understandings of this, and there's so many experiences down throughout recorded history. And some may feel this very threatening, this information, because it is very threatening to those who want to control you and those who want to keep you divided and those who want you to keep you in worship and on your knees and paying out, you know, large sums of money, you know, to the God salesman and the guilt and unworthiness peddlers and you know, the evangelists. It's sad, but I see these God salesmen, you know, as they move forward in their path, they take the big fall, and then you look at their history and who they really were and how much everybody has given their power and their wealth to them and supported them and looked up to them as gods, basically, as the true messengers of God, when in truth, God is within you. It's within everyone and everything. And rather than looking within, they've created extreme disservice to humanity and the earth, because the temple is within. It's always been within. And we can become one with the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness and all planes and all dimensions throughout the multiverse. It's within us. That was the gift that was given us. And we can also contract that down to a personality and a body and think that's all we are, which is very disempowering. And we can be these lowly, wretched, guilty sinners and these wretched personalities and bodies. Or we can be these magnificent spirits, you know, these just incredible, awesome, vast, multidimensional beings. And that's our choice. We can choose which expression we want to experience. But to do that, we have to transcend all the cultural and religious boundaries that have been impressed upon us, the ignorance of separation and division. And it's very simple to just focus on the omnipresent God within everyone and everything. That's how simple it is, and act accordingly. That would end the wars. It would end the diseases. It would end the destruction of the environment. It would turn this planet around to become the emerald jewel it was meant to be. It would bring heaven on earth. And the only reason we don't have heaven on earth is because we're divided in consciousness. We're divided by cultures. We're divided by religions. We're divided by governments. But in truth, this is all an illusion, because there are no divisions in God. There's no divisions in omnipresence. There never were. But we've fallen into the illusion that there are divisions. And this is a very sad illusion, and it's a very destructive illusion. And it's soon coming to a close, backed by popular demand, because the rest of the multiverses and the higher dimensional beings and the masters and angelic guides and the spiritually and technologically advanced ETs, and all of them are all working together now in this grand shift that we're undergoing. And they're assisting us to get through a natural cycle that is very, very, you might say, without assistance, we're in deep doo-doo, you know, to make a long story short, because we are moving into some intense changes. We have a sun that is shotgunning solar flares and coronal mass ejections, which is reaching a maximum around 2011-2012. We have a massive increase in earthquake and volcanic activity. We've got global warming. We have wars, just crazy things going on here, and we need all the help we can get. And that help is coming due to the prayers and wishes of the masses. It's very important to realize that the vast majority of the people want to live in harmony. The vast majority of the people want to live in peace. They want to live in harmony with each other and the planet. They want their families to be secure. They want, you know, the basics. They want shelter. They want food. They want dignity. They want individual freedom and prosperity. All of these things. We all want the same thing, but we have to ask ourselves, why is this not happening? Who is perpetuating the division? Who is hoarding? Who is keeping this from humanity and the earth? You know, what are the forces that are keeping this from happening? And when we look at this concept of separation, greed comes from separation. Greed comes from fear. You know, who's perpetuating the fear? Who's perpetuating the unworthiness? Who's perpetuating the divisions? And when you look at this with opened eyes, you'll realize that we have been very controlled and very manipulated by governments and religions and other forces unseen as well. And the more we awaken to this and awaken to our own divinity, the more we can rise up and, as a collective, reclaim heaven on earth, reclaim our true heritage as spirits born of God, and share this with others. And this is this mass awakening that is happening right now. We are under this incredible energy shift right now that's coming in waves. It's exponential. And people don't realize how these advanced beings work. They work on the vibrational continuum. They work from consciousness, and they work from light, and they work from energy. And we see the physical expression of their work here in the physical, in mass. So when we understand the vibrational continuum, that
everything begins in consciousness, and it moves from consciousness to light to energy to mass. And we realize that we have that same consciousness within us that set creation into motion, and be still and know that that force is within you. Then you can start making changes. You know, you can either operate from the personality self and the monkey mind and the reactionary mind and just be part of the chaos, or you can take the time to go within and be still and start creating the world the way you want it. And be sure that when you're creating the world in which you'd like to experience, make sure that it's truly your unique soul purpose that you're coming from and not a program that was given to you. There's a lot of movies out now, and I think they have good intent, and they have some real good information in them. But some are just infomercials for materialism, and they keep that program going that, you know, you can be happy if you have the car and the big house, you know, and you have the drink the right beer and have the bronze beauty, you know, playing volleyball on the beach. You know, all of these things, these images, they slam at you over and over and over. And you have to do all these things for acceptance and love by social consciousness. But if you realize that love and acceptance are coming from within, that none of these things, these touchstones, have emotions, they're all generated from within, it frees you from the need to be in this reactionary social consciousness mind. And you can start moving out of that and finding your own unique purpose for being here. And most likely, if you take the time and really meditate and go within, you will see that you do have a higher purpose here, and you're probably part of this awakening healing process, and it's time to get on with it. It's time to make the move and move with this incredible shift that's underway right now. So the good news is we're going to see tyranny just folding in on itself. The downward spiral that they've chosen is going to be quickened and amplified, and the karma is going to be accelerated, and we're going to see this happen very quickly. We also need to realize, too, is we need to release the past and bring in forgiveness and move forward and start creating the world in which we want to experience. And use, take our energies away from the fight and the war and start moving them towards what we really want to see on the planet. And it doesn't mean that, there's an old saying, being a Christ doesn't mean being a doormat. You know, it doesn't mean you just lay down and let them run over you. It means you stand tall, you stand in your truth, you align with spirit, and you say what needs to be said without judgment, without attack, you know, without fear, without denial. But you do stand up and you do stand tall and you say what needs to be said and you act on what needs to be acted upon. And that's very important because, you know, words without deeds are dead. So, again, it's very important that humanity rise to the occasion. You know, a lot of people talk about contact, you know, and they expect these ETs to just appear in their living room and give them all this vast knowledge and give them a special pill or something, and then they're going to wake up into enlightenment. It doesn't work that way. We have to rise to the occasion. They've already done it. They're already there. They're offering a hand. And if we take that hand and rise up, you know, the angelic guides, the ascended masters, the source itself is now pressing hard upon the planet. All of them are. And they're assisting us in this grand awakening, this grand shift. So now we have a choice. You know, we can either take that hand and we can go with the flow and we can be part of the destiny of humanity, Earth, which is to awaken, which is to heal, and which is to join the rest of the universe in peace. Or we can take the downward spiral and continue our evolution somewhere else, on another plane, another planet, a lower consciousness, you might say. And those are the two choices that we're given. To me, the wise choice would be to become part of the awakening healing process and shift into service and do all we can to make this transition and start dropping this separation game and you know, aligning with our personality self and the body and start aligning with the spirit within the body, because that is the wiser option, you know, in the days to come. We are going to have to develop our own spirit connection or God connection within, and we're going to have to listen to that voice, because that voice is going to tell us where we need to go, what we need to do, and we need to act on that with loving detachment, because you might need to move here or move there or go here or go there, and there are times you're going to have to do that. You're not going to be safe in certain places. When you have a great quake in the ocean and you have a tsunami headed for you and you're not listening to that inner guidance or that inner wisdom, it's not God punishing you. It's just that you're a bad listener and you need to learn to listen a little better. And you've got caught up in social consciousness and you've forgotten that you have the knowledge within you of your future and of your past, all in the now. So it's very important that we learn to wake up, listen, own our divinity, see the divinity in everybody else, and move along with this shift. I really want to open the lines up to any callers. Anybody who wants to talk about how they've been feeling these energies, what they've been experiencing, the shifts they've been experiencing. I'm going to give the call-in numbers. It's 877-876-5227. Again, that's 877-876-5227. And if anybody has any questions or want to convey some of the visions or experiences they've seen or share any advice with others, feel free to call in and go ahead and share the wealth of knowledge within you that's waiting to come out. There's so much more I'd like to cover. I think these are incredible times that we're in. They're incredibly challenging times. There's a lot of challenges coming up for everyone that are going to test your mettle and see how much you love yourself and accept yourself and approve of yourself and see how much you depend on others for love and acceptance and approval. And you're going to be tested to see how much you put your joy outside of yourself, because in truth, you're this loving, joyous, magnificent being. We have a caller. Hello.
Hi, James.
Hello, who is this?
This is Dean. This is Dean Grover.
Great.
Yeah.
What do you have to share with us, Dean?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I was, you remember me? I was at the conference and...
Yes, the pilot, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
It was kind of funny. You were on Art Bell on the 17th of February.
Uh-huh.
And also on your show that night, you had a rebroadcast of me and you on the show that night.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
And the funny thing is that just happens to be my birthday. So it was just...
Yeah.
It was
That's
very
great.
So how you been?
I've been doing great. I wonder, can you share some of the experiences you've had up here, especially as well as being a pilot and what you've seen flying around the area?
Well, I tell you what, I'm over here. When we were up there, that was incredible. I don't know if I told you, when I got back, the last time we came up to visit you on the weekend, there was an earthquake under Mount Rainier. And we came down to see you that day, and when we got back, I was counting no less than about 20 ships an hour of the light ships.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, they're back again up here, because I'm right at the base of Mount Rainier, and they had that quake about 3 weeks ago, and I've been seeing ships again. But they were gone for a long time, and now they're back up.
We've noticed that here too. We've been counting up to 10 to 30. You know, coming out of the handle of the dipper, there's some kind of a portal there they're popping in and out of.
Right.
And there was some little skirmishes that looked like up there by some groups that were trying to stop some of the assistance that's coming in to assist humanity and the earth, and that was very short. But there's definitely the skies are lighting up, and it's going to get exponential in the days to come.
Interesting. Now, somebody was, I was reading about, isn't that Jehovah that's coming back? And
or, yeah, you know, there is some of the old images, the tyrants of the past, you know, people don't understand, but, you know, when you read the Bible, you're going to find out that either there's one of two options you can take. One is God is schizophrenic
uh-huh.
and doesn't follow his own commandments.
or there was two gods. And so, you know, basically what you can do is when you go back and read the Bible, you go, well, wait a minute. There's this all-loving, all-forgiving, non-judging God that Jesus brought, you know, the new covenant. And then there's this punishing, jealous, wrathful God that, you know, tells Joshua to slay village after village and makes people eat their dung and, you know, sacrifice their young and everything else. It makes no sense whatsoever until you really understand that these were experiences by some different types of beings that came here and had their way with humanity and left.
Yeah, I remember telling people that it kind of contradicts itself, and I've always brought up that argument that, you know, it's a good, kind, all-forgiving, loving God, and then there's the wrath of God. So that just didn't make any sense to me. I mean, either he's a nice God or he's, you know, or he's not. But
It's hard for me to envision God barbecuing his children. You know, it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, down there throwing them into the lake of fire and all that, you know, just for not believing.
Now,
him.
You've seen some other, as a pilot, I know you showed some pretty incredible pictures of some metallic craft as well that you took in the area.
Yeah, right over Mount St. Helens, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And, I still have those. I think I gave you a CD of those, so I hope
you
have them.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
hopefully I can find that thing again.
After
the conference, everything disappeared. It was amazing.
Right.
A lot of footage.
Right. I'll bring some more down. Actually, I wanted to come up maybe in a couple weeks and spend some time with you, too.
That'd be great, because we've definitely got the ships coming in. It's on a regular basis here, and lots of people are coming up and seeing them.
Yeah, that's great. Like I said, I go out every night, and it seems like right at sundown they start coming out, and then they usually go for about an hour, it seems like, and then they either go home and they're done for the night or something. But and these are the light ships, the high ones, they're from the inner Earth. Is that correct? Or?
Well, there's different ones. We're seeing these beautiful ones coming out of the inner Earth. Some are multicolored. A lot of them are. We've seen golden ones, pink ones, green ones. We've seen all different types. And they come flying in and they dematerialize and seem to rematerialize back somewhere, you know, on the inner Earth because there is no impact. You know, they're coming right into the ground. So,
right now, are they going into the mountain or?
Yeah. Actually, they're going to the mountain. They're very busy right now helping us to turn this planet around and it's hard to tell who's who up there. There's a lot of Pleiadian ships up there, a lot of Andromedan, Arcturian. There's an Orion Council of Light that's working on our behalf. So
right,
it's hard to tell who's who until you really get on the ship.
Right. You said the Zeta ships are pretty much gone now
They had their time here, and a lot of the abduction scenario and the low-level contacts are coming to a close, mainly due to the benevolent ones that are coming in now. And it's part of our evolutionary process to join the rest of the universe and move in that direction, and they're assisting us.
Right,
the higher, more benevolent ones are assisting us in that process.
Yeah. And you think the higher ones are from the inner Earth, or they're kind of the drunken satellite ones up real high? I remember that's how you explained it to us when we were at the conference, to some of those it looks like somebody drunk's flying a satellite way up there and
they start waving back and forth and make U-turns, and it's pretty funny. But when they power up and they light up like they do and they come in doubles and triples, then you know some anomalous object.
Yeah, I've been waiting to tell you. I had one night I was standing outside with one of my coworkers, and two took off at the same time, and they both lit up almost at the same time. It was just absolutely amazing. And then
when that was? Because I got that on film a while back.
Really?
And I had a whole group of people.
Oh,
and I got two huge ships coming in, and both of them powered up at the same time, and I got the whole thing on film.
Were they flying to the south?
They're flying towards the south.
They're going from
north to south.
Yeah, they started up. If you got the same ones I did, one kind of went by the other one. It was just stationary, but it was lit up and it looked like a star. And then it started moving. It started moving right with them, and they were going from north to south down there. And then they both powered up right about the same time, lit up really big. And actually, I think it was down kind of probably right over you guys, now that I think about it.
Yeah, we got them on film.
Wow.
With multiple witnesses.
Wow, that's
so
great.
And that's going to be in the upcoming DVD that's going to be released here real soon. And hopefully it'll hit the theaters as well if people would call for it. But
it's
an amazing DVD that was just made. I mean, it blew my mind. The graphics, the work, the professionalism, and people from the highest positions, the greatest masters in every field of technology stepped in and just volunteered to make it. It's just amazing how it was orchestrated. And I'm stunned by it. I'm like in shock, seeing this film.
Yeah, that was awesome. And I was going to tell you another night, I was out with my mom and dad, and I was showing them, and I think it was 18 ships that night, but two of them flew, and then they slowed down, and they stopped, and they stayed lit up, and it was just amazing. Have you ever seen that before?
Where they stopped, you know?
Yeah. Two flew down, and they just came to a stop, and they stayed lit up, and, you know, if you didn't know any better, they just looked like stars sitting up there. And
it'd be great to ask SETI and NASA, you know, what kind of satellites that fly that way.
Yeah.
And stop, and that, you know, we have, like, God, I don't know how many, 70 hours of footage now of these things doing this.
And
they still refuse to believe. I mean, these things are on the ground morphing from 1 to 4.
Yeah.
And they still refuse to believe that we're being visited right now, and we've always been visited. They just, it cuts right into their funding, I guess.
Yeah, just those guys. You know, those guys, they all know what's going on. They just, I don't know if they're being threatened or what's going on, but that's just sad. It's got to be that way. I
just have a little bit of an issue with somebody standing there lying over and over to the American people, you know.
And to the international
community. How can they just stand there and lie over and over and over? I mean, at what point does their soul grab them and go, I can't do this anymore?
How can they do that? Yeah, speaking of that, we got talk about chemtrails. I'm not kidding you, James. They're just one after another over here, and I've seen some of the biggest ones I've ever seen today. It looked like about four or five planes flew the same route and just really dumped really heavy. And you can feel it over here, too. I mean, it's giving people
sore. Are people getting sick and upper respiratory and joint pain and things of that nature?
Yeah. Just, you know, immediate effect is a sore throat right in the... right where the Y, you know, goes into your two lungs right there.
Yeah,
especially today. It seems like when it's cloudy like this, they just really dump on top of the clouds. And I've actually seen them come down through the clouds before.
Yeah.
And
some of the things that they're putting in those chemtrails need the moisture to stay alive, you know.
Is that right?
Yeah, and they're pretty nasty little biocultures that they're dropping in those. So it's not a pretty picture what's being done, and you know, it goes right to the Oval Office who's giving the orders, so who knows who's giving them the orders. But the bottom line is that to be poisoning the people of this planet and, you know, your own people, you know, how can your leadership stand back and do that? I think the answer is obvious, is that we really
don't have
a voice anymore. We don't have a leadership.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've seen the Rosie O'Donnell thing trying to expose the 9/11 stuff there and Building 7 and all that, but I don't know if you've heard about any of that. So,
no, I have. I heard a rumor about it.
You
know, the majority of the people don't even realize that there were three buildings that went down?
Yeah, just dropped.
And that one was never even hit by an airliner, but, you know, it was mysteriously taken down, and they don't even know the dynamics of the architecture and how it's impossible to take down a building with a plane.
It just absolutely imploded and nothing even touched it. And actually, I got a lot of pictures of that stuff, too, but I'll bring that down and show you.
All right. The other thing I find amazing, too, is they think Iraq did it.
Yeah.
There's actually no connection whatsoever.
Yeah,
and actually they're Arab. You know, the guys that were involved in it were actually Arab. So anyway, and some of them are still alive. The ones that supposedly pulled this off are actually over there and still alive. That were supposed to be blown up in the plane.
It's
an incredible story when you look at, you know, the official story is so bad and has so many holes in it that I don't see how anybody in their right mind could even consider it anymore.
Well, I tell you, I think they've got the Americans so busy they can't see straight. And they, you know, I tell people, look up, and they say, what's that? Oh, that's just a contrail. Well, you know,
or they say they're dumping fuel. Well, if all these planes are dumping fuel because they're going to crash, and you know, we better get on the news channel and see what's going on with that. But
yeah, there's a lot of things going down. It's just amazing. It's so obvious now. If you're not, you know, if you haven't figured it out by now, you're just not paying attention because the information's there, or you're just living in total denial.
Well, sure. But, like I said, they got everybody working 2-3 jobs just to pay their gas bills and their high mortgage payments, and you know.
That's the game. Keep everybody's nose at the grindstone, and then you don't have time to think or ponder any of this stuff or look into it.
You know, they got everything went up except people's wages, and they're just, you know, people in a lot of, in a bad way. But that's great. What's that?
I think in a way, it's really good that this is all happening, because it has to get so dark and so ugly before the people actually wake up and do something. And it's at that point now.
Yeah, James.
Perfectly orchestrated now. You couldn't have picked better people to create this scenario.
And play
it out perfectly for everybody to figure it out that wait a second, you know, we need to learn to lead ourselves.
Yeah, I think they call that hitting bottom.
And once
you do that, you only have, you can only go up. But, you have, something bad has to happen before you wake up. You know, that's kind of a alcoholism term, is hitting bottom.
Yeah.
And then you build on that.
Well, the good news is that there's these energy shifts coming up that's going to bend all this in on itself, and it's going to bring all the truth right up to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the true definition of apocalypse is the great uncovering, where it means everything is uncovered for everybody to see.
Right.
We're definitely in that right now. You know, it's undeniable.
Yeah, you can pretty much feel it. And I know on your DVD there, you have those... zero-point energy machines.
Yes.
They show on there. I've showed probably about 50 people that, and they just, you know, people are always asking me, well, if that's really it, how come they don't bring it out and this, that, and the other thing? And I said, well, listen for a minute, and James will tell you. And he came on and said, you know, people are having their families threatened and this and that, and their lives threatened and different things. And
they actually blew his lab up, the guy that created that. They blew his lab up and threatened his family, and you know, he gave up. He just dismantled it and put it in different locations and said, well, when people are ready to rise up and let this happen, then we'll do it. But
Well, I'm hoping that's going to happen soon, because like you said, we're going downhill and at quite a rate. And these chemical trails, I don't know. I've read so much about it, and I've heard so many different things, and I don't know where that's all going. But, you know, you had the picture of that one chemtrail at your house, and then either a ship or something invisible came and spun it up and sucked it up for you guys up there. So.
Yeah, we're getting a little help there.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
You know, I think what's going down is that the tyranny is reaching its apex right now, and actually it's on its fall. It's not... It's already reached its apex, and it's in its death throes right now, and it's like a wounded animal. You know, it's lashing out, doing everything it can to stay alive.
Yeah.
But the majority of the people are just done with it.
They're
done with the nonsense, and like I was saying before, the majority of the people do want to live in peace. You know, they do want brother, sister, love, and they do want individual freedom and prosperity for everybody. And those are divine rights that are written in the heart of hearts of everybody.
Yeah.
And it's definitely coming forward.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Hey, I got a quick question you might be able to answer. Now, I stand
sure,
out.
We're almost out of time, so.
Okay, I stand out and I show these people these, and they say, well, what can we do about it? And I'm not really sure what you can do about it. But how about oxygen pills, oxygen water, cayenne pepper? Yeah. I mean, what would you recommend for protecting your family against the illnesses and stuff?
Yeah, there's a site called Cocoon Nutrition, and they have some incredible immune boosters.
Uh-huh.
And they have oxy powder, and you can call them up for a consultation about the, you know, what you're experiencing, and they'll let you give you all kinds of, they have some pretty incredible stuff. Now, Aquarius water is also awesome. It's oxygenated water that has a 7-sided crystal suspended in it. Mm-hmm. And oxygen's the highest antibiotic you can get, a natural systemic antibiotic. So the Aquarius water, you can go to aquariuswater.org and look into that, and that to me has kept me alive through this, because we're just getting hammered by these chemtrails, real low ones as well.
Yeah,
It smells like diesel. You walk out and you taste metal and it smells like diesel, and you start getting a pain in your chest, and you go, boy, this is like walking into a gasoline station, with the pumps running full on the ground or something.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I got today. It was a real pain in my chest, kind of a sore throat, sort of.
Yeah, it's definitely due to our... I think Kucinich is about the only one, and I think Ron Paul are the only ones doing anything about it. And if everybody just got behind Kucinich and really showed a great, overwhelming support for him, he's basically one of the only ones that has addressed this issue and tried to stop it, as well as he's filed impeachment,
proceedings for paying
in Congress. So we really need to get behind people like Kucinich and some of these other people that are actually really working for us.
Okay.
But anyway, I've got to sign off right now. I've gone over, and thanks so much for calling in. I can't wait to see you again.
Okay, James, I'll get a hold of you probably in a couple weeks. I'll be down.
Great. Sounds awesome.
Thanks a million. Love you guys.
All right. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Good night, and be kind to each other and the planet.